Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Yeah. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Big Ten matchup between Ohio State and Iowa. It's still 9:15 to go. It's 51-51. It's been terrific. Really has been. Now that's a fun game to watch.
Maybe someone is listening to my rant of the day.
No, we've checked. No, it seems to be more for entertainment purposes, but that's all right. I wouldn't be offended by it.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
All right. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory with great warranties, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, and a fabulous service department that backs it all up with great technicians. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Look out! Anacali at the buzzer! It's rejected! They scored the goal! They scored the goal! They scored the goal! It was inside the cylinder! Wow!
They're going to take a look at it.
Wow, indeed!
How quickly!
Unbelievable!
What a set play!
I've never seen a game end like this!
Oh, my goodness.
It was in the cylinder. Bill, remember, anywhere in that cylinder.
That's still in play.
Oh, the ball was when it was rejected. Right there. That's not in the cylinder. That would be DePaul victory. Wouldn't want to be Evan Burroughs. Brent Hankins
over.
Alden. It is DePaul.
You're right.
It is DePaul. Tony Stubblefield with a huge victory. And the Blue Demons will play tomorrow against Xavier. Well, we've been doing this a long time, you and I.
I have not seen one like that.
Neither. Ever.
I agree with Tim, and I agree with Raf. I've never seen a game end like that. I'm watching the game yesterday. And streaks down the floor, and the ball goes up, and it gets rejected. But the key was, where was it rejected? And when they really went through it and slowed it down, you could see the ball was below the rim when it got hit. And the key is that the reason that you had to really look at it is that he hits it below the rim, and on his follow-through, it takes it over the rim. And it was the correct call, and DePaul won it. And then today they had another close one with Marquette where a shot, I think he took a three, was missed. I mean, it was just missed, but it was an air ball. And the kid from Marquette grabbed it and then slammed it in. But he clearly, it was the same basket too, he clearly had it in his hands when the clock hit zero. Then Marquette won the game in overtime, 74-72 they won. Let's see. Halftime, Kansas leads West Virginia 31-23. 11 minutes ago, Duke leads Pitt 76-44. Yeah, Mississippi State won today in overtime over Florida 69-68. And this Iowa-Ohio State game has one lead change after another. It has been back and forth all day. UConn leads Providence at the half, 35-19. Providence is a team that has slipped back as time has gone. You know that? Ole Miss leads Tennessee 22-19, 10 minutes ago first half. Miami beat Wake Forest 74-72. Iowa State beat Baylor 78-72. And then the night session, Oklahoma State, Texas, North Carolina, Virginia, DePaul, Xavier, Stanford, Arizona, TCU, Kansas State, Villanova, Creighton, and, of course, Penn State, Illinois. The nightcap tonight. Colorado leads UCLA 38-37 at halftime. My understanding is that the UCLA bus with the starters just showed up. I'm just kidding. All right. All right. So that gets everybody up to date on that. Oh, and by the way, this Ohio State-Iowa game, Iowa's up 57-54, and they're at the under 8. A little bit more than 7 minutes to play. In that one, they said to me, it gave me the time they were going to go over. You know, and we're going to hear from Charles Davis because I have to be down there at 4:30. And I said to Nick Colella, I says, okay, I just want to make sure what time the bus is pulling out. I said, I've got it at 4:45. And I said, you know, obviously 3:45 here. And he says, yeah, yeah. He says, in fact, if you come down at 3:20, he says, band and the cheerleaders will all be. And I looked at him and I go, no. So I just want to get on the bus. I know. I kill your moments, don't I?
Well, in this case, it's understandable because you're a little busy at the moment.
No. But I was like, no, I'm not going to do that today. Like, I don't play. You know? I don't coach it. I don't play it. So, no. For me. You know, like, Dick and I are like, no, I'm not going to do that, no. Just what time does the bus pull out? So, it, you know, it's what you say, you know, say all the time that people can understand, like, why you feel a certain way about something. But, you know, when you've done it for a long time, all right? And that's, that's his following. Those guys, whether it's Jalen Pickett, you know, on this particular night, Jalen Pickett, Seth, Miles, Keba, whomever, right? Cam, right? They're the ones out there doing all the work. I just had to have the privilege of being the one to chronicle the work, right? These games are about them. That's why I always tell my broadcasting class all the time, I said, always remember, when you're doing a game, or even doing a show like this, it's not today's game starring, so let's just pick somebody else. I'm not going to pick my own name. It's not today's game starring, well, might as well just do it, starring what Steve Jones thinks. No. It's not today's game starring what, you know, what Jack Ham thinks. It's, Jack sent me a great text this morning about tonight's game. And, you know, it's not, you know, today's game starring the commentary of Dick Girardi. The stars of the game are the players, the coaches, the atmospheres, the bands, the cheerleaders, the whole spectacle. And it's up to us to put into words the spectacle that we're watching. They're the ones that do all the hard work. We have the privilege of doing it. And that's, you know, so no. I've always been very good over the years of, like, sliding to the side and, like, going, I'm going to go around. Because, you know, I'm the least important person on the bus by a wide margin. Ohio State coming back here in this game. Right? Tied at 57. How about that? Oh, geez. You know who would be great for you to get as a guest at the Bitterness Cafe? This would be fabulous if you could, you know, because obviously, I mean, you have a varied menu. It's mostly American cuisine, right?
Usually, but
if if you could get in Fran McCaffrey from Iowa to be in your...
That will be one menu that I will not be accommodating for.
Come on. Come on.
Anything associated with that table. With that disgrace of an athletic department, I'm staying out of it.
Right? You'd go to the table, he'd stare you down.
I'll take him on, but I'm not inviting him to the Bitterness Cafe.
Oh, come on. He'd fit right in with your crowd. Philip Rabrache had a pair of free throws, 59-57, Iowa, 5.5 to play in the game. So, and looks like Tony Perkins just blocked the shot, and then they, yeah, we're going to do an alley-oop. Like, no, just run a basketball play, will you? I've seen so many plays at this time of the year, Matt, where I'm sitting back going, oh, please. I'm watching Illinois play Michigan last week. And the game ended up double overtime, so it looks like, hey, fun, exciting, there were points and the whole thing. I watched so many plays where I sat back and went, oh, my goodness, does anybody know how to play?
I've had those moments myself, yes.
Bryce Sensabaugh, 59-59, just hit a shot. He's got 16 points. But, hey, it's tournament time. Everybody's trying to make plays. They're not trying to. You know, Chris Murray just knocked down a shot, 61-59. It's a little different than his brother, Keegan. Keegan's in the NBA now with the Sacramento Kings. And Chris, a good player in his own right. And they're twins, by the way. They're twin brothers. So, yeah, give Ohio State credit. Well, that's going to be an easy two. There we go. Yeah, perfect. Nice shot. Oh, man. Good game, 61-61. Game's got some flow. Yeah. And so far, based on how things have gone, no Fran Con won, so that's been good. Yeah. Yeah, Rabracha missed, and Ohio State's got the ball. There we go. Wow.
I did forget to ask you a very important question. When you were at the Loyola Chicago facility?
Illinois, University of Illinois in Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so you weren't at Loyola Chicago?
No, I was not. No, and Sister Jean was not there.
Ah, okay. That was going to be my question.
That's probably what you're... Yeah, no, I was at the University of Illinois at Chicago.
Ah,
okay.
Flames.
Yes.
I misunderstood. Okay. So, because that was going to be my question.
No, that's okay. No. We're at UIC. So.
I was going to ask if there were any pictures around the facility of her, because I saw the other day she did follow Loyola Chicago to their conference tournament. She's 103 now.
Yeah, I know she's 103. I mean, how about that? Isn't that amazing?
Yes, it is. I love Sister Jean.
And I love... you know what? What's really cool about her? I was talking today to a guy in the lobby. A huge fan of yours. No. He says, I love the Bitterness Cafe. I'm like, oh, I'm not surprised. And he says to me, he says, why am I so nervous about tonight? And I said, Keith, I said, because you and your wife, I said, it's not just monetary. I said, your hearts are invested in the program. That's why. I said, this is something that Jack and I talk about all the time. You know, you get invested in a program. It means more to you. And I said, so yeah. I said, when the point comes, you're like, gee, I hope they win. That's great. I'm like, it didn't go well. I said, that's when you worry about, like, everybody around you. I said, it's the people who are invested in it, their hearts are in it. Right? And that's why, you know, and let's face it, when they're winning or losing and people are analyzing things, I do understand that their hearts are deeply in it. They badly wanted the team to win. And that's what I told them. I said, you know, you're into it. I mean, you broadcast games. You know, you're invested in what's going on.
Yep.
On the floor, the field, whatever it may be, the pitch. I mean, you do about 1,000 different sports during the course of the year. You know, I'm lazy. I just do 3.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Does it mean something to you? Right? And that's what I said to him. I said, Keith, I totally understand where you're coming from. I said, because he knows the guys. He's been on trips, by the way. He was on the Northwestern trip, he and his wife, Pam, were on the Northwestern trip. Now, they just came out here on their own, and they went to the games, in fact, last night. But I said, that's the deal. I said, this means something to you. The players mean something to you. The program means something to you. Micah means something to you. I said, because you're invested emotionally in the program, not just financially, which he is, but emotionally. And that is one of the elements of sports that is totally different than everything else. It's totally different. You look at all the companies out there, the different professions and so forth. Right? Well, different professions don't have fans like sports does. I mean, are you a fan of tech stocks?
Okay. No, señor! No, señor! No, señor!
Those are jobs, those are investments, the whole thing. But this, sports brings out that pendulum of emotion. Incredible! Oh, no! Incredible! and it goes back and forth, and especially at this time of the year, in these tournaments, where now it's the one-and-done aspect of the tournament. Right? So Ohio State, for example, now with 2:37 to go, is leading Iowa 64-63. The only way for Ohio State to keep its season alive is to win this game. That's the only way they can do it. Right? And, they just took a shot they shouldn't have taken, but that's all right. You know, the kid's trying to win. Then the foul at the other end, and so Perkins is going to get a couple of free throws. And is it really bad that I can just glance over and, like, I know who the guys are? But that's what I do for a living. But that's what makes this fun, the dynamic of it. I mean, think of another, like, we're sitting in a profession. Think of another profession that has this kind of passion, that has fans. Yeah. Oh, Perkins missed both free throws. That was not good. Right, but that has fans. I mean, think of all the nights where the suitors stood out there waiting to sign autographs and then finally had to go in. No, I'm just kidding. We'll come back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
SUIT, that spells SUTA!
All right, so here we go. Let's see. 94 seconds left. Ohio State leads Iowa 67-65. Tight game down the stretch. Heading over there in a few minutes. It's a trip, by the way. This is not like Indianapolis where, okay, the show's over and I could walk over to the arena. Oh, great move. I think it's Thornton. I think it's Bruce Thornton that scored 69-65. Yeah, it was. It's not like when the show's over, I can just walk over to the arena. The United Center, I'm staying downtown. In fact, I mean, I look out here. You ever see the big Ferris wheel in Chicago?
Yes.
Well, that's outside my window. Okay.
That's not a bad view. That's
how close I am. That's my view out my window then looking out at Lake Michigan.
That is a tremendous view.
But the United Center is several miles from here. It's on the western side of town. So it actually takes a while to get there, which is fun. And I was talking to Dick. I said, that's where the old Chicago Stadium used to be. where the Blackhawks and the Bulls used to play. But what they did was they leveled that, and that's now a parking lot, and they built the United Center next to the old facility. I said, let's face it, what other land do you have here to build anything? That's why you talk about the Bears. You know, we went by Soldier Field last night. And, I mean, the Bears now bought Arlington Park from Churchill Downs with the idea that, you know, they might consider building a stadium there because that's where the land is. Well, we will talk to you in 90 minutes. We're going to hear from Charles Davis in a few minutes about the Combine. Tomorrow, we'll see where the show is. My preference is to be sitting right here doing the exact same thing today as I did tomorrow as I did today. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, great selection of new and pre-owned inventory. Sales staff that is there for you, ready to save you money, not just there for the sale. And a service department with many technicians ready to serve you with the diagnostics, the inspections, all the routine maintenance, and they're looking for more of those awesome technicians ready to serve you. Whether you're looking for experience, your first job, career change, they want to hear from you. Stop by in person, apply online at sunburymotors.com. I'll call 286-7746. That's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. So it is the final half hour of the Steve Jones Show on this Thursday. Matt Catrillo back here with you, Steve. Mobile today in Chicago, and he is now on his way to the United Center for Penn State and Illinois. Second round of the Big Ten tournament at 6:30 tonight here on WKOK, WKOK.com, and the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app with pregame at 6. Across the Big Ten elsewhere, you had Rutgers defeating Michigan today, 62-50. And 10 seconds left, Iowa is losing right now to Ohio State. Ohio State actually just went final. Ohio State has pulled off the other upset as they defeat Iowa 73-69. That was a good back-and-forth game there. So Ohio State is moving on. They have Penn State, Illinois tonight at 6:30. And then Minnesota, Maryland is the nightcap at 9 o'clock. All the games on BTN tonight. So then tomorrow, you've got Rutgers and Purdue. You'll have Northwestern taking on the winner of Penn State, Illinois tomorrow at 6:30. So, of course, we'll have it here again on WKOK if Penn State wins. And Indiana will be in action tomorrow night as well. So Ohio State moving on after their win today. So that's a look at what's going on for tomorrow in the Big Ten tournament. So while Steve makes his way there to the United Center with Dick Girardi and the rest of the gang, we had the privilege of NFL on CBS analyst Charles Davis joining us on the show earlier this week. He was on the call of the NFL Combine over the weekend on NFL Network, and he joined us to recap it all earlier this week on the Steve Jones Show.
Great to be back with you, Steve. How have you been?
I'm doing really well, and Tom and Julie McGrath wanted me to say hi to you.
You give them my best. Give them my best. You know, well, we've covered that ground before. You know how I feel about those two.
And warmest greetings, by the way, to Lisa, Parker, and Taylor.
Thank you very much. Greatly appreciated.
Okay, so we've gone through the combine. Now it's going to be the pro days, and Penn State's is going to take place on the 24th of March.
How, over the years, have you viewed the combine, and have you ever changed your view of the combine?
Oh, I love that question. Absolutely love it. Because I think when I first got into this, Steve, I really didn't understand how to view the combine. I went through it as a player, but I went through it in kind of its infancy. You know, it's nowhere near, like, obviously what it is now. And I'm not even sure the teams knew exactly what to take from it then. And when I say infancy, it dates back to 1982. I went through it in 1987. And believe me, if you saw any of the video from 1987 versus what you saw just this past week, you'd swear it was from different centuries. And okay? And I guess that sounds kind of sick because it was from different centuries. But you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm trying to get to with my hyperbole, right?
Right.
Like the shirts and the shorts we wore, there's none of that form-fitting stuff to make it aerodynamic. I think the lettering that was on my shirt, I think it peeled on the first washing. You know, I mean, it was you get the idea. Right. I didn't even know what drills I was going to do when I went. Now, part of that's on me for not doing the homework. But Mike Mamula, he's the one who cracked the code. He figured it all out ahead of time, practiced, trained for it, did really well. It made him and took himself from a third rounder to a first rounder and had a career that was good if he had been drafted where he was supposed to, which was the third, but to go in the top 10 of the draft because he blew away the combine, it screwed up everything for him. People started to say, oh, he wasn't that good. That was not the truth. Mike Mamula was a good football player, but he got drafted too high for where his talent was because he cracked the code on the combine before the rest of us figured it out. Give him credit. So to answer your question, I really wasn't sure. I started to learn as I went, and here's where I am now, Steve. Every year with the combine for me, I use it for confirmation of what I've seen from a player. The combine can confirm if I thought he was fast and he runs fast. If I thought he was quick, he moves quickly. You get the idea. The combine can open me up to questions. I thought this player was A, B, and C. The combine showed me D, E, F, which means I have to go back to the tape and do more work. Yeah. That's what I get each and every year. That's what I come into it doing. And last but not least, how do you temper your enthusiasm when a guy destroys the combine? Right? Adetomiye Adebare, I hope I'm coming close to pronouncing his name correctly. The young man from Northwestern.
Yeah.
At 282 pounds, running sub-4.5 and doing all the drills, looking more like a linebacker fullback than a defensive tackle, plays a lot of three technique.
Yeah.
Well, his production was good, but it wasn't that.
Yeah.
So how do I square it and reconcile it, right? I have to go back to the tape. I have to go ask other questions. Was it simply that Northwestern just wasn't very good and people could key on him? You get the idea. Every single year, that's the same thing. Anthony Richardson, quarterback at Florida, destroyed the combine.
Yeah.
Destroyed it. But when I turn on his tape, if I watch the Utah game, the season opener, he might be the first quarterback off the board. If I name three or four other games that I watched, I've got a lot of question marks. But here's the thing, Steve. I knew he'd blow away the combine, yet he still created such an enthusiasm because of what he did. I was laughing because he did things at such a level. I saw a TV show one time where they sent an undercover cop into a retirement home.
Yeah.
And they were having this like Olympics type thing at the retirement home. Well, he was younger, and he went through the Olympics and lowered the bar. So the people were like, oh my God, he's destroying everything. How is he doing this? It was almost like that for Anthony Richardson as a quarterback because he just destroyed it. But we knew that. I still have question marks about what I saw on tape. But let me tell you something. He was so good at the combine. Some of the people, they don't care about what they saw on tape. They just want to get him and work with him, and you can understand the enthusiasm.
Yeah, for the Northwestern defensive tackle, I will say quite simply, for Jack Ham and me in our broadcast, he did not make any tackles, so don't worry about the pronunciation.
Thank you, right? But Steve, to your point, I mean, it's a really great point because what you see in the games still has to reign paramount. It still has to be where it drops for you. Now, if you believe that coaching wasn't good, if you believe that he was in the wrong position for what he should be doing, he would show better in your system versus theirs. Traits still have their place. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, you throw it all out. But how do you put it together, and does it fit with what you're doing as an organization and as a franchise? That's how it all has to come together.
Yeah, because to get ready for the Rose Bowl, I did watch the Utah tape against Florida just because I wanted to see four different Utah games.
Sure.
And that's not the guy I watched that had 54.7% completion percentage this year.
Totally different, right? But you see so many things, and you saw in the Utah game on tape, I think you saw the one where he kind of faked the jump pass and ducked under people and went past people and did all those things. And then you see some other games that you just simply can't explain what you saw on the negative side. You know, he's got such a big arm, and this isn't something that's simply him. He has such a big arm that sometimes the footwork goes out the window because he figures his arm makes up for it. He's not the only one that way. Will Levis from Kentucky, gorgeous specimen. Yep. Not afraid of the weight room. All right, this kid is in there and he's strong, and you guys know him well, all right, before he went to Kentucky, former Penn State player. But even in the combine, when you watched him throw, as impressive as he was, he still hasn't unlocked throwing to his left.
Yep.
His foot still jams, and he's throwing across his body, throwing to his left. And that kind of surprised me because he and the people you're working with are not stupid people. They know that this is something that needed to be worked on, but it just tells you old habits die hard. Because I'll bet you in his workouts, he threw it better to his left because it was a conscious thing. But under pressure, a lot of times you revert back. That's why golfers, you hear it all the time. Whatever swing you have, it has to repeat under pressure. Jim Furyk's swing may have been the ugliest swing you saw, but it repeated under pressure. It didn't matter what the shot, and that's why he won majors. He had a swing that he knew he could count on. If you have a swing that you can't count on when the pressure kicks in, I don't care if your swing is as gorgeous as Tiger's in his prime, it's not going to work for you. I feel like for Will Levis, that time is still being worked on. So many great things there, but we got there, the lights hit, he responded, and guess what? He was right back doing the things he had done before. That still has to be worked through, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, and Charles, obviously I watched him in practice for 3 years at Penn State. And what's interesting about him is he's a really good runner. I mean, he runs with power. But the odd thing is that for a guy that runs as well as he doesn't throw as well on the run.
Right. Yeah, I think, Steve, I think he's one of those guys. And again, time will develop some more things, and things will be unlocked. So we always have to remember what we're seeing right now is not the finished product of these guys. We're projecting where we think they're going to go and how we can do this. But for him, I think he's one of those players that at this stage of their career, he's either running or passing. Like, he makes up his mind one way or the other. I'm throwing it, or if I go and I move, once he makes up his mind to run, there's no more downfield. He goes. Now, when he goes and he gets to the third level, defensive backs, you better be ready. That's a lot of man you're dealing with now, okay? And he runs with some power. So all that kicks in. Bryce Young is entirely different. From Alabama. Yes, he's smaller. We get hurt all that. He weighed 204, so he was able to put the bricks in his pocket and get through the scale, and he should never touch another scale again because that's the biggest question he had. He was over 5'10". He weighed over 200 pounds. Let it go. But when Bryce Young moves, he moves with the idea that someone's going to spring open. And if they don't and he does go, he runs with purpose then. He's going to get you one or two first downs a game with his feet, but his movement is not to go run. His movement is for someone to come open, which we see from, a Mahomes, a Jalen Hurts that we saw in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I feel like he sees most of the chess pieces on the field.
Sees them before we do. I can tell you that. And sometimes I think that he actually doesn't see it downfield, like truly visualizes, truly sees it with his eyes, but he's visualized how the pattern's supposed to go. and he knows based on coverage and dictating things and trusting receivers, he anticipates and puts it there, even if he doesn't truly see it. And he trusts himself enough to do that.
Yeah.
That's a big reason why I think he's the best quarterback in this draft so far.
One last question, Charles, and that would be probably the first Penn State player off the board will be Joey Porter Jr.
Yeah.
What was your general impression of him?
I thought he had a good combine. If anyone was expecting, he's going to blow the whole thing away, I think on his pro day he may do some things better, which is why I'm glad to see him do things at the combine. I tell players all the time, you may not value my advice, and I get it. Other people are going to give you different advice. You follow what you want. But I've been a big believer in doing as much as you can at the combine, if not everything, because your pro day you can clean up whatever doesn't go well.
Yeah.
If you save it all for one shot at it, well, it better go well that day. Your biorhythms better be working.
Yeah.
I think Joey did a lot of things well. Listen, he's 17 times on the bench press at 225, so he's physically gifted. He's built. He plays well. Once again, the tape should rule, and the tape you watch on him, he's a player that you want. The only thing you're going to ever say is just one career interception. Why? And then you just have to dig into that a little bit. Yep. But he's a very good player. And what blew me away, Steve, was realizing someone had mentioned it. Tell me if I'm wrong. Penn State's never had a corner go in the first round of an NFL draft?
No, have not.
That is stunning, right? With that program, it's absolutely stunning. I think that record's about to end because I think Joey Porter Jr. is going to go in the first round.
NFL on CBS analyst Charles Davis, one of the absolute best in the business. Always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks a lot for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Always a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for having me on yet again. You take care of yourself, okay?
And that was NFL on CBS analyst Charles Davis, who joined us earlier this week after he called the Combine on NFL Network. And he joined us earlier this week on the Steve Jones Show. That interview is on our podcast page and also on our social media pages in case you want to go back and take a listen to that. Steve is on his way to the United Center tonight for Penn State and Illinois, second round of the Big Ten tourney, for a 6:30 tip-off right here on WKOK, WKOK.com, and the SBC app. So hopefully Steve will be joining us from Chicago tomorrow. If not, then Steve will be back in the Sunbury Motor Studio for tomorrow's show. The King's going to join us tomorrow with our latest college hoops picks, and then we'll be doing our brackets as March Madness will officially get going. So looking forward to that. We'll wrap things up in a moment here on the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Round up Thursday edition of the Steve Jones Show. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve on his way to the United Center for second round Big Ten tourney action tonight. Penn State and Illinois at 6:30 right here on WKOK, WKOK.com, and the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app. Then later on tonight in the Big Ten tourney following Penn State, Illinois is Minnesota, Maryland at 9. All the games are on BTN as well. Earlier in the day, Rutgers defeated Michigan 62-50. Ohio State with a good win over Iowa, 73-69. So the bracket now looks like this. It'll be Ohio State and Michigan State tomorrow at 2:30. At noon, it's Rutgers and Purdue. Then Northwestern takes on the winner of Penn State, Illinois at 6:30 again tomorrow. So we'll have that game again right here on WKOK if Penn State were to win tonight. And then Indiana gets the Maryland, Minnesota winner tomorrow at 9. So that's the slate for tomorrow at the United Center in Chicago. Penn State looking for the true sweep of Illinois. They won both games by a combined 27 points against the Illini this year. And so we'll see if Penn State can pull that off again tonight. Steve mentioned, and I totally agree, that, again, it's going to come down to can Penn State hit enough threes and just be sustainable enough offensively? Can they be efficient enough on the offensive end to take control of the game? And we'll see how Illinois decides to guard Jalen Pickett. They're a little bit of a different team, it looks like, than they were a couple weeks ago when Penn State faced them last. So that'll be an interesting challenge for the Nittany Lions tonight. But if they win, they'll take on Northwestern. Of course, they just got the big dramatic win against them last week, courtesy of Cam Winter. So that would definitely be an interesting rematch if Penn State can get the W here tonight. So that'll be coming up. And if Penn State were to win tonight, Steve will be live once again tomorrow from Chicago. But if not, he will be back in the Sunbury Motor Studio. King going to join us tomorrow as well with our picks for the rest of championship week. And, of course, we'll start looking forward to March Madness next week. Selection Sunday is this Sunday. And then we'll be picking our brackets and getting ready for March Madness. So looking forward to that. Other scores right now across college hoops with championship week underway. We've got UCLA 67-61 over Colorado in the Pac-12 tourney. That's a quarterfinal. UConn over Providence 63-58. That's a much tighter game than it was earlier. 3.5 to go in the game in that quarterfinal game. Mountain West Championship. San Diego State 60, Colorado State 59 in the quarterfinal. Kansas 62-53 over West Virginia, quarterfinal in the Big 12. Tennessee 48-37 lead over Ole Miss in the second round of the SEC tourney. Marquette 72-70 overtime victory today against St. John's. Pitt losing badly to Duke today, 96-69. A little bit of a surprise there on that one, so we'll see how the Nittany Lions do tonight. Be sure to stay tuned for that in about an hour from now when coverage begins at 6 with Steve and DJ. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. We'll talk to you tomorrow on a Friday. Hopefully it's a victory Friday for the Nittany Lions. On the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.